It's a little bit light. I've written Habits and Rhythms of the Home. Last Sunday, the primary focus of the message was on home culture. Culture in the home. And one of the areas that we touched on was habits and rhythms in the home. And this morning, I'm impressed to consider this area a bit more specifically. We have individual responsibility in these things, and the consequences are not insignificant. And so I think that it is worth giving some good bit of time to. And so this morning, I ask for your attention, your prayers, your patience as we endeavor to establish a foundation for this subject in a way that registers. Probably won't get all done this morning. But I'd like to start by reading a passage in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Exhortation to love the Lord with the whole of our life. The whole of our body, the whole of our mind, serve the Lord with our homes, which is included in this. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So it's not just lip service, but it comes from within. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And maybe we'll stop there. That's pretty strong instruction on the importance of teaching and living, keeping the Lord first in our life. Teaching truth. Teaching God as our Father, one that's worthy to serve in all areas of our life. God does not intend. He didn't intend back there. He doesn't intend today. For our homes, and by extension our children, and I could say it the other way too, our children and by extension our homes, and I could also say our own individual lives. He does not intend for our lives, for our children, for our homes to be shaped randomly. He doesn't intend for them to be just shaped by default. He doesn't intend for our homes to just be governed just according to however we feel on any particular given day. And so he gave Israel a daily rhythm for establishing his word. He said, "When rising, teach it." He said, "When walking along the way, teach it. When sitting, when lying down." That is the rhythm. It begins to give us a picture of the how and the when. And then he placed teaching his word, which he wanted to become a habit. Spiritual habit, a practice. And he placed that right in the middle, within this rhythm. You think that's overkill? No, It's not overkill, folks. Truth has practical application in our lives all the time. Does anybody here want to say, well, you know what? Truth has good application and it should be taught, reinforced when we're doing this. But you know, when we're living over here and it's when it's kind of my time and my space and this is just kind of my time, maybe it's not so important. Truth has practical application at all times. And I'm not saying that the Lord is requiring us 24 hours a day to formally set our children down and formally teach. But what he is saying, let truth be taught by the conduct of your lives all the time. And when appropriate, teach it formally. When speaking of our homes, the habits that you practice in your house, the associated rhythms that go with those habits, that is what in such a very real way begins to establish the culture of your home. And yay, the culture of your life. This home, what happens at home has such a profound impact on what happens outside of the home. And these habits and rhythms that get established in the home, and when you're young and when you're growing up in a house, when you have your own home, when you get married and you start making decisions about what your home culture is going to look like. We talked about culture last Sunday, and while we mentioned habits and rhythms, we didn't spend a lot of time on it. This is such a significant part of what begins to establish culture in your home, and what it looks like, what it feels like, what it results in. And so this morning, maybe we'll pause a little bit and give some more specific consideration to the meaning of these words that we're talking about, just so we can level set by the help of the Lord. What is a habit? Say it again. All right. A habit is something that you don't just do once or twice, but a habit is something that it is a regular practice. It is a regular tendency. It happens, as was just said, over and over. And a lot of times, it's once it becomes a habit, it can be hard to give up. You may not have a chemical dependency on something that makes that hard to give up from that standpoint. But habits, something that you do over and over that becomes a regular tendency, those things can be hard to break, which means that you want to establish good habits. You want to establish good practices that you do over and over. Habits are oftentimes task-oriented and sometimes have action associated with it. Task or action-oriented. I brush my teeth every morning. I brush my teeth for X amount of minutes every morning. I eat breakfast and I go outside. I have this habit of going outside after I eat breakfast. I'm not speaking personally. I'm just giving examples. When I get home from work, I sit in the recliner. Maybe some do that. And maybe there's more that goes with that. It's not just that I sit in the recliner, but I sit in the recliner with a sigh. I sit in the recliner and I don't want to talk to anybody. I sit in the recliner and that's my time where I want to talk, and it's after work. I play and sing music before I go to bed. And it's a habit. I just do this all of the time. These can be habits. And in this case, in this scripture, the specific action that was taken was a spiritual habit, and it was teaching the Word of God. We're going to teach the Word of God as a habit, as a practice. What about rhythm? What is rhythm? And I want to spend a few moments here making sure that we understand a little bit the difference between a habit and a rhythm. So what is rhythm? Rhythm has to do with the regular pattern of movement. It has to do with flow and has to do with cadence. Rhythm speaks to the how. Rhythm speaks to the how. How do you do the habit? How do you sing the song? How do you brush your teeth? When do you brush your teeth? When do you sit in the recliner? I sit in the recliner when I get home from work, and I do it this way, and it happens that way every day. I don't just sit in the recliner once a year, but I sit in the recliner in this way. I brush my teeth in this way. I eat breakfast in this manner. And in this case, the rhythm that was associated with the habit of teaching was, I teach when I get up. And when I walk by the way, and when I sit, and before I go to bed, I teach. It is a rhythm. And then it also spoke further of writing it and binding it. In other words, it's visible and it's heard even when nothing's being said. That's part of a rhythm too. Do you know that sometimes silence is associated with rhythm? That's something to get a hold of too. Silence can be associated with rhythm. And it changes the meaning. So I think about it like this, that habits are the what. Habits are the what. And rhythms is the how. Here's the what, and the rhythms are how you do it. And do you know that you can sing a song that has exactly the same words, but you can have a different rhythm, a different tune. You can sing it with a totally different cadence, different expression, different mannerisms. But you say, well, I sang the same song that they did. I mean, the words were exactly the same. I said the same words that so-and-so did when I sang the same song. It's not the same song. It's a very different song. You see the difference between the what and the how? I have a habit of saying these words. And so-and-so over here has a habit of saying the same words. The same exact words. Two totally different songs. So-and-so over here says those same words, sings that song with a totally different motivation, totally different tone, different tune, leaves the person that heard the song feeling completely different than the person over here that heard the same words saying that it's the same song, but it's not the same song. Does it make sense? I think this is important to get a hold of. When the how and the what work together in the right way, powerful combination. When they're at odds with each other, powerful consequences that can result in a lot of trouble. Teach truth. The words themselves are right, but with the wrong motivation and the wrong spirit. No love. It's not the same song. is the one who teaches with a different rhythm. So, do we have habits and rhythms in the home? Are habits and rhythms in your house? They're mine. They're in yours too. So a question that I'd like to ask is, by whom and how are habits and rhythms established in your home? Let me rephrase that. By whom and how can habits and rhythms be influenced in your home? What influences habits and rhythms? You can go ahead and help me. Children influence it. Work influences it. What else?
Your faith.
Faith influences it.
Attitude.
School influences it. I heard attitude. Neighbors can influence it. Climate can influence it too. Just habits and practices of the home. What about internet? Does internet affect habits, rhythm of the home? Television, does it? Can it? We could make a list that just goes on and on. Lots, hopefully, parents, friends, just people in general, church. Like I said, we can fill the whole board up. Influences, habits, and rhythms of the home. But the question is, Who should establish? If this is your home, and this is my home, who is it that should establish the habits and rhythms of your home, or at least be an overseer of those habits and rhythms? Should it be school? Should it be your work? Should work dictate what the habits and rhythms are of your house? Should the children of the home be the overseer? How about your friends? Should they have the final oversight to establish the habits and rhythms of your home? What about people in the church? Should people in the church be the ones that have the ultimate say in establishing what the habits and the rhythm, the how? This is the what and this is the how, if you allow me to say it that way. Should the church establish that? Who is it that God has given it to be the overseer in establishing the rhythms and habits of your home? It's the parents. It's the husband and the wife. It's not all of these other influences. Yes, they influence it. Work is going to influence. The time you're supposed to be at work is going to influence some habits and rhythms of the home. If it snows all the time, you're probably going to check the fire first thing in the morning. And if it's really cold outside, and it's going to influence it. And school's going to have an influence, and the internet, and there's all these influences. But in the end, brothers and sisters, the mother and the father of the home, the husband and the wife of the home, are the ones that God has given it to be the overseer, to tend, to cultivate, to be the steward over this precious garden that we call home. The parents, the husband and the wife. Not all of these other influences that are out there that are telling everybody how it should be and what you should do and how you should do it. Yes, it influences, but I want to stress. Parents, husband and wife, don't abrogate your responsibility to be the tender, to be the one that establishes and oversees and makes adjustments if you need to make adjustments of the habits and rhythms of the home. Will you be, will you ever be misunderstood? Yes. You will be misunderstood as the parents of the home by other people and by your children. Will you ever have to make difficult decisions as the one that establishes or at least oversees and says, okay, that's a habit, that's a rhythm that we're okay with. No, that's not a habit. The way in which you're doing that, the inflection of your voice isn't acceptable in this house. What you're allowing into the house to influence you, what you have in your bedroom as a child with the door closed and locked is not acceptable in this house because I'm the overseer. And so I want to know, I want to be careful about what influences and what habits and rhythms are happening in this house. Will you ever have to make difficult decisions associated with that? Yes, you will have to make difficult decisions associated with that. Will you be misunderstood? Yes, you're going to be misunderstood at times. And I think it's worth giving some time to that. That clock goes really fast. This is what I'll call an adjacent subject with habits and rhythms, but I think that it's worth pausing for a moment and spending a couple minutes on, about being misunderstood, about making difficult decisions. As a parent of the home, you know your home better than anybody else. You know your children better than anybody else. You know it better than the people at church. You know it better than your friends. You know it better than these influences that don't know anything about you but tell you how you're supposed to live life. All of these things that are out in the world that tell us how we're supposed to live life and what's important, they don't even know you many times. And you know your children better than anything else. You know the situations of your life. You know your spouse, hopefully, better than anybody else. And yet sometimes we feel this pressure and these expectations by other people on what habits and rhythms of our home should be. And sometimes those influences and what is being promoted are right. And we should listen, and we should listen to it and take heed from counsel where counsel needs to be given. I am not saying, just for the record, I am not saying that everybody lives each to their own and don't listen to anybody else. And that's not my message. My message this morning is that as parents, you have the ultimate responsibility. Don't give it up. And there's going to be times when you know what the right decision should be. You know what the right habit and rhythm should be of your home. But then you don't do that because you're trying to satisfy somebody else over here that it has an expectation on you that is outside of what your understanding of reality is. That's a difference between being open-minded to receive good and wise counsel. Amen so far? And so there will be times where you feel these expectations for your children, parents, where where you feel this pressure and this expectation that you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z with your children, but they don't know your children like you do. They don't know what your children are going through. They don't know what you're going through. And yet, it seems like that they're enlightened sometimes, people that they know just exactly what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, then you feel this strong disapproval. And so then you start to draw back. And because you want to satisfy their expectation, then you do that to the detriment of the home that God has given you to be the steward over, to ultimately establish and oversee the things that happen in your home. I'm not saying don't accept advice. I'm not saying each live to their own at all. I am saying be faithful to the responsibility that God has given you to be an overseer and tender of your home. Now, from a child's standpoint, will you ever be misunderstood by your children? Yes, you will. There's going to be times in the home, lots of times, and maybe we'll start this morning in a safer place, and we'll start with young children. There's going to be times when your young child would make a decision different than what you would make. But they're not the ones that get to choose and decide what the habits and rhythms are of the home. Even though they want to do it so bad, don't decide that it's most important for you in the moment for them to be happy with you. You're the parent. God has given you a responsibility to oversee the habits and rhythms of the home. And you're going to make decisions sometimes that they don't agree with and that they don't understand like you understand. They want to walk down this road, but you know at the end of the road there's a fire. And you know that there's danger down there, but they don't understand that. And they don't understand why you won't let them walk down this road. And you can't explain it to them, perhaps, depending on where they are in life. And so you have to make a difficult decision that has to do with what's going to be practiced in your home and how you're going to do it that may go against what your child wants, and they may not like it. And it's going to create some discomfort. And as a parent, as a mother, you don't want your child upset with you. You want your child happy with you. You're the mother. You're the picture of love. You're the one that you want your child to like you and to love you. Be faithful to your child by being a parent first with love. I remember one time years ago, I was very small and I knew I wasn't supposed to play with matches. But we were in a house somewhere, and it was a house you all know, some of you here know who the people were. But I was in Oregon, and I was 3 or 4 years old, and I walked into this room, and I found these matches, and they were those cardboard-type matches, you know, you used to see. So they were about yay long, and boy, that looked really cool. And I thought, you know, I wonder if I could light one of those things off. And so I pulled that thing off, and I was all by myself, and I struck that thing on the back there, and finally I got that little match to light. A little guy with little fingers and a match about this long with a fire on the end of it's not a good combination. And the fire got my finger and it burned my finger, and of course I dropped the match. Well, now I'm in a predicament because I have a blistered finger and my finger really hurts, and I was with magic, so I went in the other room, and of course, I mean, I had learned my mom's comfort too, because I had a hurt finger, and finally it's like my finger really hurts. It really hurts, and it's really bothering me, and I can't remember if I was crying or not, but it's really bothered me. And so of course the question is, well, what happened? Why, you know, I burned my finger, but what happened? How did you burn your finger? Struck a match in there. Oh my goodness, the whole household got up out of that living room and left me with my burned finger in the living room, and they all went piling into this room, and I still have this vision of them looking like they were doing merry-go-around, following everybody around, trying to find the match. And I'm like, what happened to me? What about my finger? What do you not care that I hurt? Yes, My mom cared that I hurt. They also didn't want the house to burn down. See? Be faithful to your children to do the right thing, even when the child may not completely understand it. Now, with me still remembering this story, I probably should have had enough understanding not to do what I did back then. Be faithful to your children. You're not going to always be their friend, where it feels to them like, oh, they're just whatever I want, I get. That's not fair to the child, because the child is not going to understand everything you know, and that is the reason why God gave it to the parents to be the overseers and the tender of the home. And I'll say this quickly, that does not mean that your child has less value than you. See, sometimes that can be brought up. Well, I'm just as important as you are. Well, I should have just as much say as you. What I want should be just as important as what you want. But they conflate value with responsibility and authority. Not everybody has the same responsibility and authority. Your boss at work, it doesn't mean that they have inherent more value than you do in the eyes of God, but they have a different responsibility than what you do. And they have authority in that place to give direction that is outside of your authority, but it doesn't mean you're less of a person. Children don't have less value than the parent, but they don't have the same authority and the same responsibility. Does that make sense? Now, this is a whole other message that we won't get into, but as your children get older, parents have to learn how to start letting out the line, even when you know that maybe what your child is doing isn't the best decision. May God give us understanding to know when we start letting some of those decisions go out. Because if you don't, the line will break and it will cause long-term damage. The Lord can give us wisdom to help us to know when to pull back in and when to let out. So all of this underscores the reason why the how is as important as the what. Because you are going to be misunderstood by your children sometimes. You're going to be misunderstood, and you're going to have to make difficult decisions in the eyes of people that are around you. But if you do it in the right way, it totally changes the picture. There's a scripture that says that, doesn't it say that love covers a multitude of sins? And you know, a lot of times you read that, well, I don't know if you do, but the way I do is sometimes I can read that and you think that the one with the love is the one that is covering the sins of somebody else. If you have a lot of love, you're willing to cover the sins of somebody else. And that very well, that's true. But consider this too. Consider this too. That if you have a habit, a practice in the home, if you have a rhythm in the home that you establish as a parent, and maybe you're wrong in it. Maybe you realize later that, you know what, I erred in that. That wasn't a good practice. That wasn't a good habit. I didn't do that in exactly the right way. If what you do and establish in the home is with love and with care, that can help cover a lot of errors that you may make, because your children know that you love them. They are, yeah, that's dad. You know, he, I don't agree with what he's doing, but, you know, I know he loves me. Totally changes it. Or if you're trying to teach something in the home and it's hard to receive because it causes you to have to live in a way that is outside of where everybody else is living, and you'd rather do something else, and you're trying to teach your children that, it's a whole lot easier for them to receive difficult truth if it is given in love versus with a hammer. I've often said that sometimes people never can get through the presentation to get to the content of what you're saying. Because the presentation is so off-putting that you can't get to the content, even if the content is right. I was telling them the truth. I was reading them scripture. I was telling them they need to live just like the Bible says to live. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with the truth. It's that may the Lord help us to present it, to have a rhythm, a tone, with a foundation of love and care, a Christ-like spirit, fruits of the Spirit associated with the what? And it makes such a difference when we do that. Yes, you're teaching the truth, but how are you teaching it? Yes, you sang the song, but how did you sing it? With what tune did you sing it? With love? With consistency? Did you live what you told them that they're supposed to live by? Or otherwise? The what and the how are both important. Where should parental direction come from? Should we say, well, I'm the boss of the house. I'm the keeper of the home. I'm the leader of this house. And so since it's my house, I get to do it like I want to do it. Like I feel and according to my preferences. No, the genesis of the habits and rhythms of our home should be founded upon the Word of God. It's so important that a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, invite the Holy Spirit into their lives. Give themselves to understanding the Word of the Lord. That decision making, that the genesis of that is the Word of God led by the Holy Spirit. A foundation of love. Because if love isn't there, then 1 Corinthians tells us that all these other things that may be right, maybe what you said was technically right, and should be followed. It should be a habit. If it's done in the wrong way, it just becomes noise. It comes as a sounding brass in a tinkling cymbal. So, it's so very important that as leaders of the home, that we acquaint ourselves with the Word of the Lord, that we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to make a priority to nurture spiritual habits and rhythms of the home, because that is what leads to life. And what we're talking about today has everything to do with what it means when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all areas of our life. It gets right down to our home. It gets right down to the habits and practices that we have in the home. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to that. We've run out of time for today. May the Lord give us understanding and wisdom in these things as we endeavor to be faithful stewards of the homes that God gives us. Amen.